Bad Bunny is one of the world's biggest pop stars. His last album, El Último Tour del Mundo, was the first entirely Spanish-language record ever to hit number one on the U.S. Billboard Albums chart. Now, a year and a half later, the Puerto Rican singer is back with a new record called Un Verano Sin Ti, or A Summer Without You. I'm Stephen Thompson. Today, we are talking about Bad Bunny on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining me today is Ana Maria Sayer. She's a producer for NPR's Alt Latino. Hi, Ana Maria.
Hey, what's up, Stephen? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it is such a pleasure. I'm so glad we can talk about this record. So Bad Bunny has been streamed billions upon billions of times. He was Spotify's most streamed artist in both 2020 and 2021. Now his new album, Un Verano Sin Ti, has set its own round of streaming records. This past Friday, the day it came out, Bad Bunny received the most streams any artist has ever registered in a single day, with more than 183 million. Benito Antonio Martinez Ocasio is a full-fledged multimedia superstar. He performed at the 2020 Super Bowl. He won the 2021 WWE 24/7 Championship. He's in the forthcoming Brad Pitt thriller Bullet Train, and he's just been cast in an upcoming Marvel movie. Now, Un Verano Sin Ti promises to make Bad Bunny an even bigger star. It is a 23-song, double-length album that sprawls across many genres, including pop, trap, reggaeton, and much more. It's hard to sum up this album using a single sound or genre or vibe, but it really feels like an expansive summertime mixtape. It's even split into a side A and a side B. Side A features several guest artists from Puerto Rico, including Jay Cortez and Rauw Alejandro, while side B showcases a number of women's voices, including those of The Marías, Bomba Estéreo, and Buscabulla. Ana Maria, what do you think of Un Verano Sin Ti?
Ooh, I mean, what do I think of it? That is such a loaded question. I feel like for the sake of, I don't know, like journalistic ethics, integrity, I have to disclose off the bat that I personally am in love with Bad Bunny.
So vicious objectivity, just
yes.
Cold, surgical objectivity.
What do I think of the album? I love it. I love listening to it. I think it is a departure for him in many ways and also like very consistent. You know, he released these like back-to-back-to-back projects, right? You know, around 2020.
Three albums in 2020.
Crazy. Yeah. With each new one, he broke the mold, I think, a little further. He's obviously known as being this really big reggaetonero, and he went from that to incorporating like pop and punk and all these kind of different interesting sounds. And what was funny about hearing you list some of the genres he plays with is I'm like, that doesn't even really tap the surface of what he's playing with on this album. There's like ad plus mambo, bossa nova, house, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think like this to me is kind of like his victory lap album in a way where it's like there were no expectations in many ways around this album. Like he didn't have to adhere to anything or anyone. He is like the star. Felix Contreras, host of Alt Latino, we get into kind of soft arguments about this a lot because I'm like, Felix, he's not Latin pop star Bad Bunny anymore. Like, he is just the pop star. We don't even need to talk anymore about crossing over and all these different things that we often talk about with big Latin artists. Like, he is the crossover. He's done it. He can sing in Spanish. He can sing in English. He can play with whatever genres he want, and people will listen. I mean, you heard those numbers. It's like he could drop like a kid's record, I don't know, like a kid's bop thing, and people would be like, oh my God, look at what he did. It's so innovative. But I think he has earned those stripes. I think like what he does here is really impressive. I think he really spends a lot of time as opposed to making it, you know, the super pared down, tight work. He really spends a lot of time meandering through the different genres, through the different locations that he mentions, you know, whether in lyrics or in styles or sonically or whatever it might be. He really takes his time painting this really beautiful homage to Latin America as a whole, homage to Puerto Rico, like he always does, to himself, to his fans. So I think you really get an impressive array of concepts driven home here.
Yeah, you said victory lap, and it does feel like that. It feels very ambitious in a lot of ways. Like, it really feels like he's trying to showcase like everything he can do all at once, all on top of each other. But I do think there's kind of an uncompromising quality to this record at mm-hmm. the same time that really shines through. Like, as ambitious as this is, as much as this is geared to be the album of the summer, as much as it is geared to be kind of all things to all people, you mentioned the different Latin American countries that he's shouting out, you know, how much this record is kind of trying to appeal to a really, really broad swath of listeners. It would have been very easy for this record to be like an even bigger swing at like a US pop crossover. This is an artist who's worked with Drake. This is an artist who's worked with Cardi B. But you look at the guest list on this record, and Rauw Alejandro is a huge star. I mean, they're definitely names, but they're not necessarily Drake. They're not Cardi B. Like, I was really mm-hmm. delighted as a fan of Bomba Estéreo, as a fan of The Marías, as a fan of Busca Bulla. Like, I just loved seeing them get this, like, huge A-list showcase to become, you know, bigger mm-hmm. and bigger stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a huge piece of the intentionality he's bringing here, right? Because, you know, like you said, like, oh, it's made to be the biggest album of the summer. It's made to be all these things. And yes and no, right? Like, mm-hmm. Un Verano Sin Ti, we got this album name and we were like, A Summer Without You. Like, that is not an album of bops. Like, that is not like an album you're playing up in the club. Like, that's like me at home by myself at 10 p.m., like, eating chips in bed kind of energy. Like, that's
there
just
a lot of sad bops.
Well, yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, it is true. And on this record too, right? There's sad bops, there's classic reggaeton hits, there's a million other things in between. And I think that to me, like, he named the album that because he wanted to have the freedom to play in whatever area he wanted to. He was setting expectations that, like, you might be able to play these in the club, you might not, but I just want to be able to do what I want to do. And I think that, to me, is more than anything a testament to a change in how he wants to serve his fans in many ways with his music. I've covered Latin music. I've listened to a lot of these different reggaetoneros returning from COVID. They're like all off with the hits. You have like Pepas. You have all of these things that are like made for club play, right? Like, they're made for like get back out there, get back out in the world, like do your thing. To me, what I hear when I hear this record is I hear Benito being like, get back out in the club, get back out in the streets, get back out with your family in the backyard. Like, this album is not necessarily about, oh, go and have a crazy time post-pandemic. It's really about, like, him wanting to be part of the listener's experience in every part of their day. Like, mm-hmm. that really speaks to young listeners, right? Because he's always been able to play with the boundaries of things, with the nuance of things. He's always been kind of a contradiction, I think, in and of himself and in everything that he does. And so I think the title track, Un Verano Sin Ti, it has a very somber, not somber, but like melancholic feel to it. And if you listen to the lyrics, they're actually pretty happy. They're pretty upbeat. And I think that's just one example of him saying to this global young audience that he has, like, I see you, I see the gamut of emotions that you run in a day or an hour or a moment. And I'm here to speak to that and to give you something to play as a soundtrack to those experiences, no matter what they are.
I wanted to talk about a real tone setter on this record. You know, this record kicks off with a song called Moscow Mule, and, you know, clearly it's kind of like a first single. And then you get track two right after that. You get a little sense of something being switched up. This happens about a minute into the song, Después de la Playa. Zumba. All of a sudden, you are just off on a completely 180-degree kind of genre turn into this frantic mambo on a record from a guy who was not necessarily known for mambo.
Yeah, you would be correct.
And you realize that this record is a radio dial being flipped to highlights of a lot of different stations.
Oh, God, I love that song. Because I think, you know, when I first listen to the album, I hear the second track, I hear him make the switch, throw it, like, to some mambo, like, straight up, you can imagine the tías in Zumba going wild to the song. And I think that that's, like, the second I heard that, I was like, oh, he is going for the gold. Like, he is gonna go wherever he wants to go on this record. And that is him understanding, I know they're listening in Brazil. I know they're listening in Cuba. I know they're listening in Spain. I know they're listening all across, you know, the Spanish-speaking parts of the world. And so to him, this is really a moment where he is playing with those sounds and offering them up. Like I mentioned, I think he gives shout outs in his lyrics. He names many, many countries by name. But beyond that, he really does do all of these styles in a way that, to me, didn't feel contrived. I think a number of artists have kind of tried to aim for this, like, a little bit of a pan-Latin album in a way where, you know, they recognize that Latinidad is not a monolith. There's lots of different styles and sounds to play with, right? And I don't know that I've ever seen an album this stylistically diverse and this successfully stylistically diverse. And it's really about how do we honor the sonic diversity of a group of people who is endlessly sonically diverse.
Yeah. Give me a sense of tracks on this record that feel like contenders for Song of the Summer 2022.
I almost would like to go out on a limb here, and I'm just going to make a statement about what the summer will be, I guess, and really highlight one of my favorite tracks on the record, if not maybe I would dare even say my favorite track on the record, which is the Maria's collab, Otro Atardecer.
Agreed.
It is not I Like It, that's for sure. It is not for the, you know, football games and for...
It's a mellower feel.
It's a mellower feel, and yet it feels verano. It feels like, you know, I could be at a party with friends, with family, enjoying the beauty that is summer in all of its elements, not just the going out piece, but really just the togetherness and spending time piece. And I think that one I really just love for its kind of broad-reaching ability. I think it really has a lot of sounds in it that feel like they're going to resonate with his audience. And I think despite the fact that he goes everywhere, like, there is still a very distinct feel to this record. And I think it's consistently PR. It's consistently Puerto Rico with the playa sounds and the, you know, he really weaves that all together. And it's warm and festive and not necessarily in an in-your-face kind of way, but I think in a really authentic kind of way, which authenticity is always what Bad Bunny has done best and what has drawn people to him again and again.
Well, I wanted to ask you about kind of the themes of this record, because obviously he's going for a lot here. He's stuffing a lot into this record. What themes do listeners take away from this record?
Like I said, you know, he's consistently shouting out the PR in all areas of what he does. And he's also consistently pretty vocal politically, I think, in many ways. He has a history in the past of doing this. He's been seen in protests in Puerto Rico. He's done it in his music. He, you know, paraded around New York for all his Boricua, New Yorican folks. And so one song in particular stood out to me, which was the Busca Bulla collab, Andrea, I think it is. On that track, he kind of weaves this whole really momentous story about femicide, the femicide of a famous Puerto Rican, Andrea Ruiz Costas. Quiere quedarse en PR, no irse pa ningún estado, pero todo se ha complicado, como si ser mujer fuera un pecado, la demonia ha despertado. It's no accident that he did that with Busca Bulla, who, you know, half of that duo is a storied Puerto Rican female musician. And I think they knew on that collaboration, from what I've heard, that they really wanted to do something impactful for Puerto Rico. And so he really doesn't hold back on saying how he feels about the Puerto Rican government, about Puerto Rico as a whole. And that has always been something that I think a lot of times other Latin artists, when they get big enough, they shy away from, because they want to be a little bit, like I said, like, they're trying to do these pan-Latin albums. They're trying to be seen as global stars for everyone. And there's something un poquito complicado about, you know, presenting yourself as really strictly Puerto Rican and really strictly standing in certain positions around politics there. But I think that is something he will never compromise on. I don't see a world in which Bad Bunny releases a record that doesn't have something to say about where he came from.
Well, do you want to pick one more highlight to take us out? Another track? I know we've only got 23 to choose from.
I love them all. Like, seriously. Well, El Apagón is another great political statement. It's talking about Puerto Rico and the power outage that happened post-Maria.
It's a hard-driving, like, danceable track.
It's a hard-driving, danceable track. And that's what I'm saying, where he plays with that nuance again. He's like, oh, you want to dance in the club? Okay, let's dance in the club, but we're going to be talking about Puerto Rican politics while we do it.
Well, let's hear a little bit of that. All right, well, we want to know what you think about Bad Bunny and Un Verano Sin Ti. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Ana Maria Sayer, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Stephen.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. This episode was produced by Mike Katzeff and edited by Jessica Reedy. I'm Stephen Thompson, and we will see you all tomorrow when we'll be talking about the new Netflix series, Heartstopper. Que se vayan ellos.